It's a real pleasure for me to be here this morning to preach God's word for you and with you to the congregation. And I just think we should take a moment to thank the friendship group again, the congregation. It'd be really nice. Yeah, a real blessing for you to be here today with us. I've chosen one verse from James chapter 2, verse 23, for my meditation sermon this morning. And in that verse, it says this, "And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The title of my message this morning is Being Friends and Friends of God. Dear Friendship Ministry friends and leaders, we're glad that you're here with us today. We're glad that your theme can speak to all of us today. I think it has a good word for all of us. I'm sure there's a lot of joy that the leaders and their friends have found in each other. I'm thankful that you were able to share that this morning and show it to us on the PowerPoint. Finding and having friends is a really important thing in our lives, isn't it? It may surprise many people, but in a real way, the Bible is the story of how people who were lost and alone became friends of God. But before I dive too deeply into explaining that story, I just wanted to remind us how many people in the Bible were not just friends with God, but they were friends with other people as well. Now, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. Now, at first, Adam was alone, and he was with God, so he wasn't completely alone, and there were the animals. But after having named the animals, Adam realized that there was no one like him. And then so God took a rib from Adam in his sleep and formed Eve. Now, they were literally made for each other, and they were the first man and woman, so God made them the first couple. But I think in addition to being the first couple, I think Adam and Eve were also friends. They loved each other and they raised their children together. They worked hard to make a life for themselves and their children. But I think they were friends. Having friends doesn't necessarily require anything but enjoying one another's company and appreciating one another. We see this in the lives of many biblical characters, but I think we saw, if we read the book of Genesis, we see it for Adam and Eve. We also see it for a man named Moses and Joshua. Moses was the great leader of Israel, and Joshua was his trusted aide. And I'm sure in the beginning it was kind of like, you know, Moses is the big boss, and Joshua was his aide-de-camp who came along and helped him all the time and made sure things were going right, his right-hand man. When Moses spoke to Israel, Joshua was right there. When Moses was praying during a battle, Joshua was right there. When Moses faced rebellion, Joshua was right at his side there. Joshua was a good friend. Moses, I think, taught Joshua much about God too, and Joshua believed. He believed God at his word. So when Moses died, Joshua took over and led the people of Israel into the promised land. Friends care for one another. And I'm sure all the friendship leaders care for their friends, and their friends care for their leader. Just like when David and Jonathan were friends, they cared for one another. Jonathan's father, Saul, was king. But David was God's anointed. David was a man after God's own heart. So even though there might have been a point of conflict for David and Jonathan, they decided to remain friends. And through it all, even though Jonathan must have been disappointed that he would never be king, he was still pleased for his friend David, that David would be the next king of Israel. And so they remained best friends. Friends go through thick and thin together, don't they? And much later, after David's friend Jonathan had been killed in battle against the Philistines, David sought to find out if there were any remaining members of Jonathan's family. Because David loved Jonathan so much that he was hoping that he could show some kindness to Jonathan's family. So a search was made, and one was found. His name was Mephibosheth. Not a very easy name to say. But he was a young lad when his dad died. His nurse was carrying him as they were fleeing from some of the battle and bloodshed. And he injured his feet, and he couldn't walk. But David sought out Mephibosheth. And for Jonathan's sake, he took him into his royal court, cared for him, gave him the things he needed of life. Now, unsurprisingly, I thought about this, but Jesus had friends too. I don't know if you really ever think about that. Jesus had friends. As a part of those who followed him, there were the crowd of people who were around Jesus. They were his friends. More closely, there were the 12 disciples who he had chosen, and they were his friends. And then there was the three, Peter, James, and John, who were very close to Jesus. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration with him when Moses and Elijah appeared to minister to Jesus. Peter, James, and John were there. Peter said, "This is a great place. Let's stay here on the mount and that Shekinah glory of God." And then there was one, the Bible tells us, John, who was Jesus' closest friend, the one he loved. Yes, even Jesus needed and wanted to have a good friend. Friends are important to our lives. But there's one person who I wish to talk about this morning that I think that you have been talking about in your friendship classes. He was first called Saul, right? And then later he was called Paul, right? It's kind of a change in his life, and then came a name change with it. So I want to talk about this Saul Paul for a moment, but before I talk about him, I want to talk about what God was doing in preparation for him. Now, even before Saul decided to go persecute Christians and do all that stuff, things I'm sure you learned about, but before that, God was preparing a friend for Saul. I don't know if you talked about that at all. He was preparing a friend. You see, God put in place someone to come alongside this Saul. Saul was an angry man. He didn't like Jesus at first. He didn't like the Christians at all. He didn't think that was a good idea for them to be there. But God prepared a man named Joseph. Have you heard of a guy named Joseph? Yeah. But you're thinking that this is the Old Testament Joseph, the one with the coat of many colors. But it's not him. It's another Joseph. The Joseph I'm speaking of is mentioned at the end of Acts chapter 4, where we're told this: Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, so the name Barnabas means son of encouragement, he sold the field and he took the money and he put the money at the apostles' feet. So Joseph, who the apostles called Barnabas, is someone who is generous, someone who cares, someone who wants the community of believers to flourish. Now, when the church first began after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the Christians really helped each other, and this Barnabas saw that. They took their money and they shared and they made sure that no one was hungry and everybody was taken care of. And this Joseph called Barnabas was such a person. He really cared. He not only wanted to be a good friend to others, but he also sold some of his own property to give the money over that others may be able to have a good life. And he was soon to play a role in the life of Saul turned Paul. In Acts chapter 9, we're told that Saul went to Damascus. Did you guys talk about that in your classes at all? Saul went to Damascus, and he was breathing out threats against the Christians. And he was going to go to Damascus, and he was going to take the Christians that he found, and he was going to throw them into jail, and then Saul was going to be happy about that. Throw them in jail. But along the way, Jesus appeared to Saul as he was on the road to Damascus. And Jesus revealed himself to Saul. And he asked Saul, "Why are you persecuting my people?" And after this encounter, Saul was left blind. He was blinded by the glory and the majesty of Jesus. And for 3 days, he felt lost and alone. Lost and alone until God sent another friend to speak to him. Now, Ananias at first didn't want to go to talk to Saul. Ananias thought it was a bad idea. This guy has been doing all kinds of things against your people. And God said, "Go. I want you to talk to him. And I want you to tell him that he has been chosen as my instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to their kings and to the people of Israel." And then God said, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." There's that suffering, which we've mentioned a few times. Sometime after this, Saul wanted to go see the disciples of Jesus in Jerusalem. Now remember, the apostles are in Jerusalem. Saul has been trying to kill Christians, trying to, you know, get at all the people who believe in Jesus. And the apostles have heard all about this Saul. And then Saul wants to go meet them, and they go, "Yeah, sure, you betcha." "No way." No way. Right? There is not a chance we want to meet this Saul. And then, you know, God does an amazing thing. Barnabas comes alongside Saul and takes him and brings him to the apostles. Isn't that what a friend does? A friend comes to someone, takes them, and brings them to a better place. That's exactly what a friend does. That's what Barnabas did. Took him right to the apostles. And I'm kind of sure that the apostles kind of went, and Barnabas goes, "Chill out. Don't worry. Take a chill pill." That's exactly right. Isn't that true? Sometimes we need to take a chill pill. You've been talking to my wife. She sometimes tells me to take a chill pill. Yeah. But isn't it neat how Barnabas befriended Saul and was able to bring him before the apostles? And then once the apostles got to know Saul, they understood that he truly loved Jesus. Now, Barnabas was a real friend. I think he was a real friend in a time of need. And he became a friend indeed. Without Barnabas' friendship to Saul, who would later be called Paul, we may not have heard very much about this man who was called to preach and teach to the gospel to the Gentiles. And this was just the beginning of Barnabas and Saul's friendship. Later, Barnabas was sent to Antioch by the apostles because they heard about some people who were believers there, and Barnabas was sent to check it out and to help them along. And Barnabas got there, and he saw what God was doing through the Holy Spirit. And we sang about the Holy Spirit this morning, didn't we? And how God moves through the Holy Spirit. And then Barnabas goes, wait a minute, this is too many people for me to teach. This is too hard of a job. I know who I need to come help me. And he thinks of Saul right away. Now, Saul is a smart guy. He has studied the scriptures. He is really smart in the scriptures. That's why at first he didn't think Jesus was the Messiah. But then he came, when he met the Messiah on the road, he believed. So Barnabas goes to Tarsus, where Paul is from. He goes there and he finds Saul, and he says, "You got to come help me. I've got such a big church, I can't do all the work by myself." So Barnabas got him to come. Together they taught the people the good news in Antioch. And it was at Antioch that the disciples of Jesus, remember, this is Barnabas and Saul teaching them the things about Jesus. It's at Antioch that they were first called Christians. How cool is that? Then these two friends were busy serving the Lord together. And later, the two friends and their brothers in Christ went to Jerusalem to report about how things were going to this mission. Then they went back to Antioch, and the Holy Spirit moved the leaders there to send Barnabas and Saul on what we now call the first missionary journey of Paul. Now, these two friends took along with them another friend. They took along a young fellow named John Mark. Now, John Mark was quite a bit younger, and he was a cousin of Barnabas. But they took him along as helper to spread the good news of Jesus. Now, this was a hard trip. This was a dangerous trip. They were sailing on ships. They were going on land where there was bandits. They were going to places they had never been before, they had never seen before. And along the way, you know, Barnabas and Saul are preaching the gospel, and John Mark gets a little scared. Yeah, he gets scared. And then John Mark gets to a certain point, he says, I'm out of here. I'm gone. And he leaves the apostles. He goes back home. Now, I got to tell you, I don't think that Saul was too happy with that. Barnabas, his cousin, was a little bit probably more forgiving, but Paul wasn't too happy. But in Acts 13, we see something remarkable happen. In that passage, we see that Saul, soon to be called Paul, led the explaining of the gospel. So if you read along in the biblical text in Acts 13, you'll see that it's Barnabas and Saul were going to do this, and they were going to do that. And they went to this place, and they preached the gospel. And then all of a sudden, in Acts 13, it switches. And that's a really cool moment, I think. It goes unnoticed by a lot of people. Suddenly, they're no longer calling Saul, Saul, but they're calling him Paul. And no longer is it Barnabas and Saul, but it's Paul and Barnabas in the text. From then on, it's always mentioned as Paul and Barnabas. Now, you're going to say to me, oh, I wonder what Barnabas thought of that. Barnabas was the leader. Barnabas was in charge. I think that Barnabas was smiling. He was smiling this big, great big smile. Because you know what? He had been preparing Saul to be called Paul for that moment. You see, he had trained him up. He had come alongside him as a friend. He had taken him to the apostles. He had given them opportunity to teach and preach to the people that they might know Jesus. And I think Barnabas was happy as anything that occurred. And I think that that was the plan of Joseph called Barnabas from the beginning. I really do. You see, Barnabas knew that we all need friends and that we all want the best for them. And God knows that we need the same as well. And that's why God gave his people the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit led Paul from his darkness into the Lord's marvelous light. In the beginning, the old person of Saul only wanted to hunt down and hurt Christians. And then the new man in Paul wanted to save them and to show them Christ. After his conversion and befriending by Barnabas, Paul was leading other people to be Christians. And I want you to get this part, because I think you already have taught us this part, but I put it into words this morning. Friends who have friends and are friends of God want their friends to meet Jesus. Okay, I'll say it again. Friends who have friends and are friends of God want their friends to meet Jesus. It's so true. Just like the friendship members and their friends, others, you want other people to know about your great friend, Jesus, right? That's how it works in the family of God. That's how we keep on passing the faith from one generation to another, to one group of people to another group of people, to people in one nation to another nation. And on and on and on it goes. Now, in the end, there was a little bit of trouble. Suddenly the Holy Spirit said to Paul and Barnabas, I want you to go on another mission journey. And they got talking, and I know Barnabas. I've studied Barnabas, and I really think I kind of have gotten to know him. And Barnabas says, oh, Paul, John Mark is so much better now, he'll really serve us well. And Paul goes, no. You ever say that? No, that is not the way it's going to be. You just put your foot down, eh? And you know what? Paul and Barnabas, they had a disagreement. And you know what? That happens sometimes to friends even. And guess what? Paul took a man named Silas with him and went on mission. And Barnabas took John Mark and they went on mission. So instead of one team going out to spread the gospel, now there was two teams to go. That's right, two teams. The gospel was being spread more and more. And then along the way, it's interesting to me that Paul ends up finding a young man named Timothy. And exactly what Barnabas had done with him, Paul does with Timothy. He befriends him. He teaches him the gospel. He trains him up. And this young man named Timothy becomes a pastor, serving the Lord. Now, from Paul's letters, and we have a couple of those letters that Paul wrote to this young pastor, from his letters, it's clear that the Apostle Paul loved young Timothy. They were good friends. And some years later, Paul wrote to Timothy in his second letter. He sent a message. And the message was this. He said, send John Mark to me as he is useful in my ministry. Isn't that something? He had been kind of upset about how John Mark left them on the first missionary trip. Paul and Barnabas had argued about whether he should go on the second missionary trip. And now, later in life, Paul says, yeah, send that John Mark to me. Now remember, this is the Mark, John Mark. He's the Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark. You see, God takes all of us, and he works with us. Even though we make a mistake here or there, even though someone doesn't like maybe the mistake that we made, at the end of the day, Paul realized that John Mark and him were not only brothers in Christ, but I think that they were reconciled as friends as well. And I like that. God has his way of bringing people together again. And I'm so glad that Friendship Friends, that Ebenezer Church here, that you and them are friends, that we're all friends together. You get to share together. You get to learn about Jesus and hang out together. I'm sorry you missed the dancing on Friday night. It happens. There'll be other opportunities, I'm sure. But boy, you only get disappointed when you're looking forward to being with a friend, isn't it? Yeah. So I want to just take a moment to tell you about a friend of God. In Genesis 12, God called Abraham to not only believe in him, but to follow his commands and to go where he sent him. From where he lived to a place about 800 kilometers away, long ways away. By faith, Abraham did what he was asked to do, and he was greatly blessed for having done so. In Abraham's life story, we are told of his call, his obedience, and his steadfastness. And more so, his life story tells the birth of a special nation and how God brought salvation and blessing to so many people into the world through this one man's faith. See, Abraham was faithful. He had a whole nation of people. And then eventually, Jesus comes from that nation. The Apostle James said it this way: Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Wow, it's something to be God's friend, isn't it? Yeah. Because Abraham believed God, a whole lot of people can be friends of God. And friends of God love to share their friendship with others so that their new friends can be friends of God too, just like you guys have shared with us today. Thank you so much. Shall we pray? Lord, we just thank you for our friends here. We just thank you for all the friends in our lives that you give us opportunity to show that they too can be friends of God. And that goes for our children.